You can, we may be out of here in just a little bit, I don't know. I have some very unusual experiences as a preacher. I preached on Zacchaeus just not long ago, maybe a month ago, or 2 months, or maybe not even that long. But I've got to preach on it again this morning, and you're going to have to hear the same things. Maybe the same things, I don't know. This thing's been on me all week, and I'm going to get it off of me. And thank you, Bob. I'm going to get it off of me and on to you. That's just how I've got to do it. And so I want you to understand. I know probably y'all could probably preach this about as good as I could. Just a little simple thought, but I pray the Lord will do with it what he desires. If you would, pray with me and for me this morning, and ask the Lord to just help me, and ask the Holy Spirit to make this text come alive to us. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, and here I am. And Lord, you've called me and placed me in this work, and you know if you don't help me, it'll be a disaster. Lord, I ask you, you're my sufficiency. You're the one that enables me. Lord, I need you. Lord, please be glorified. Please do in this little service today what needs to do. And open hearts to receive. Help us, Father. Help us. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I guess I'll read the text, and then what I want to do, what I think the Lord would have us to do, is to go verse by verse through this. The Bible says, it's beginning in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'd like to read that last verse again to you. For the Son of Man is come, why? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so not only did he come to save, but he come to seek that which was lost. He come to seek. Seek means to hunt out, to look for. And so we know the Holy Spirit today is seeking sinners. And I know this is just a little what some of you all would call a little child's Bible story or a little child's lesson for the Sunday school class. And I can't read this text unless I think about the little song that used to be sung about Zacchaeus. A wee little man was he. You all, maybe we've sung it here. It's been around since I was just a little fella. But the fact of the matter is, we start looking at this text and you ask yourself this question, why does it matter about Zach is. Why is he important that God would put him in the Word of God? I mean, there's a lot of folks that could have been in the Word of God. There could have been more said. There's more said about Zacchaeus, and there is some of the apostles. We know more about Zacchaeus than we do some of the most spiritual people in the Word of God. Well, why is that? I think that last verse we read is the purpose of this story, to show us that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so the Son of Man is our Lord's favorite title. He was the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. And He likes the Son of Man the best, because that identifies Him with us. Isn't that precious? My, I love that so much, the Son of Man. I'm glad He wanted to be identified with us, unworthy, no good people like we are. And so as we come to this text, we see this thing of Zacchaeus. Why is it in the Word of God? I think Zacchaeus is a picture in time. He is a picture of a sinner. A sinner. If you're here today, Zacchaeus may be a picture, and you're unsaved. You might could put your place in Zacchaeus' place. You might could insert your name where Zacchaeus is at. And you might could just let your mind follow through this story as we progress through it and learn some truth about this thing of salvation. And we know this, that the Lord came to seek sinners. And we're going to see seeking in this passage. He came to save sinners, save the lost, that which was lost. The text says that's sinners, and we're going to see that. And so having said that, I want to just start through it. When we're through, we're through this morning. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Now here's what I like to think about. Jesus is in action. Jesus is moving. Jesus is on the offense, if I can say it that way. And the Bible says He passed through Jericho. And I want to just stop and say this. Sinner, until the Lord moves, you can never be saved. That's right. John chapter 6, I've said this so much lately. John chapter 6, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days." The other day when I was preaching on salvation, I took you over to Jonah. Jonah said this, "Salvation is of the Lord." It takes the Lord for sinners to be saved. I'll tell you what we've done today. We've left the Lord out of this thing of salvation. And there's a lot of folk with false hope, and they're going to go to hell because they have a false hope. Man with good intentions left God out of salvation, and sinners have a profession but no possession. That's where we're at today. But not in our text. The Lord's moving. And you know, it seems like a lot of folks sense the Lord was moving. And by the way, He passed through Jericho. That's a cursed city. If you go back in the Old Testament and read, Jericho's a cursed place. And so here's our Lord going into a cursed land. You see the type, don't you? You see the picture there. Our precious Lord in heaven one day chose to depart heaven and come down here to this cursed earth. Why? To seek out a few Zacchaeuses. That's what He was doing. He come to seek out a few of us and seek us and save us. My, aren't you glad He didn't just decide to stay in heaven? Sister Sharon sung the song. I'm glad He decided to come and pay the sin debt for you and I. And so the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And my, can I say this? This thing of Jericho and him passing by, this was the last time. If you study your Bible, he never passed through Jericho again. That brings a soberness to me. Had Zacchaeus not responded when the Lord was passing by, he would have never had another opportunity. Now that's sad to me. And here's what I think the lesson is for us. When God passes by our way, we better respond. We better not put the Lord off. It's a serious thing to say no to God. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm preaching the text that God gave me. And I promise you, I wrestle with preaching this because of the nearness of preaching it previously. But this is what God, as far as I can tell, this is what God put on me. And here's what I'm telling to you. If you're here and God's dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you, there'll come a time somewhere in your life that God will not deal with you anymore. He'll be through. One day will be your last time that God will ever deal with you. Again, let me say, you study your Bible, you'll never see where Jesus passed through Jericho again. It was his last trip through. My, one of these days, he's going to pass by the Ridgeview Baptist Church for the last time. Oh, you say, preacher, that won't happen. Oh, yeah. This thing's winding up. Sinner, let me say this. Soon, the Lord's coming back. I believe that with all. How can he put up with what he's putting up with? I mean, sodomy's on the rise, and they're mocking his institution of marriage, and churches are nothing more than playhouses, and sin is on every hand, and little old children don't even know who Jesus is or any of the Bible stories. My, if you were my age and you could go back 50 years when I was 13 years old and you could look at the world where it is now and you could realize how much has transpired in the, if there is 50 more years, can you imagine what the world's going to be like then? I mean, it's went from God-fearing people to God-denying people in 50 years. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in 50 years from now. You say, well, my, you're not giving much hope for our children. Can I say the grace of God is sufficient for every situation? What are you depending on, preacher, for your children and your grandchildren 50 years from now? The grace of God. That's what I'm depending on. And the power of God. And so here's what I'm saying. Jesus passes through for the last time. And my sinner, you can mock this, you can laugh at this, but if you put the Lord off and put the Lord off and put the Lord off, I want to say this to you. One day, someday, he'll pass through. Yes, sir. And it'll be the last time for you. And I pray that'll be a long time. I pray God will just, he dealt with me for a long, several months before I was saved. And I pray he'll give you a long time to repent. But I want to say one day, someday, somewhere, he'll pass by for the last time. That's what was happening here with Zacchaeus. That's just the way it was. Now I want you to look. The Bible starts telling us who Zacchaeus was. I mean, look at the text. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, however you want to pronounce that, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, most of you Bible students know this. A publican was a Jew who collected taxes from the Jews for the Roman government. And so, here's what Rome's rule was. You give us our tax money, and whatever extra you get, that's yours. You do with it whatever. All we're asking you to do on your job is to give us our tax money.
tax money. And so the publicans, as a rule, were hated by the Jews. They felt like they were traitors. They were working for the Roman government. They were despised. They were outcast, if I could say it that way. And so here's old Zacchaeus, and he is a publican. He's chief among the publicans. Not only is he a hated publican, but he's one of the chief publicans. No doubt hated more than any of them. No doubt very successful. The Bible says he was rich. And so not only did he collect taxes for the Roman government, but he was smart enough to extort money out of the additional money out of the Jewish people to pad his coffers. And so he was rich. He had it all going his way. That's the great danger with sinners today. They're living this life, and everything is going their way. They have plenty of money. They have a good job. They've experienced promotion and success, and they're this and they're that, and they really don't have any need of God. Maybe some. There's some I pray for, and I know they're living life. Man, they feel so good about their life. Everything's going their way. I want to say to you, that may be you today, but it won't always be that way. There's coming another time somewhere at your going to need the Lord, and that's where Zacchaeus is at. But I want you to notice verse 3. There's something that happened to Zacchaeus. He's like Nicodemus. He's searching for something. He's like the woman at the well who wanted that water. She had a desire for something. Here's what the Bible says. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He did not know Jesus. He did not have a knowledge of Jesus, and he sought to see him. He was seeking. He was looking for. He was hunting an opportunity to see Jesus. I guess I'll just say it. There was something working down on the inside that made him want to see Jesus. There was something there in his heart and I can't explain it, and you can't explain it other than God, but there was a desire there. He wanted to see Jesus. He desired Jesus. He desired to know about Jesus and to know him and see him personally. And so here's what he does. He doesn't sit around and just wish that. He makes an effort. He puts forth energy to see Jesus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not. He could not. He could not see Jesus. He wanted to see him, but he couldn't see. And I think about that sometimes. I've thought about what little Chris said the other night. He said, "I didn't think I could be saved. I'm saved, but I didn't think I could," or something to that effect. And so here is Zacchaeus, and he wants to see Jesus, but the fact of the matter, he could not, for two reasons. There was two things that kept him from Jesus. There's two things that keep a lot of sinners from Jesus. Number one was the press. By the press, we mean this. There was a lot of people crowding around Jesus, pressing in against him because he had power and he could heal and do these things. And so there was a press. And because people were coming between him and Jesus. And by the way, people can come between the sinner and the Savior. We have to be so careful about that. That's why the Bible teaches us not to be offensive the Bible says these little ones who are saved, but can I say we need to make that same application to the sinner this morning. Be careful. Don't offend the sinner. Oh my, here they are, and the press concerned about themselves, standing between the Savior and the sinner. And so we must be careful that we're not an object the devil uses to hinder a sinner from getting to Jesus. Let's say you're sitting beside a sinner in the congregation, and you start talking to that sinner while the preaching is going on. Can I tell you what you might be doing? You might be hindering that sinner from getting to the Savior. That's right. Let's say you get up and you go to the bathroom, and you get up and you start stirring around and making a commotion, and you get that sinner's mind off of the preaching and off of the message and off of the work the Holy Spirit's doing, and they focus in on you and they lose their train of thought. You know what you might be doing? Standing between the Savior and the sinner. I'm saying to you today, we better be very careful. We better be very careful when it comes to the sinner and the Savior. Here was a crowd that was standing between the Savior and the sinner. And notice what else. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not. He just couldn't get there because of other people. But notice too, he had some flaws within himself. Because he was little of stature. He was a little short fella. I mean, he couldn't measure up, if I can say it that way, just to make application. He did not have the ability on his own to get to Jesus. He just did not have that. I mean, had the crowd was there, and here he is, a little short fella, and he can't get to Jesus. So he had a defect. The crowd was standing between them. And so there was a twofold problem, if we could say it that way. And my, here's what I want to say to you. And I've said it and said it and said it and said it before I started. The sinner will not go to Jesus. He cannot get to Jesus without the aid, excuse me, and the help of the Holy Spirit. Now understand, now you listen to me assuredly on this. Everybody's saved differently. When I was saved, I wept uncontrollably. I'm a weeper. That's who I am. I cry. Some folks get saved, they do not weep. Everybody's experience is different. That's what I'm trying to say to you. But I will say this. You can't get to Jesus within your own self. It takes the Holy Spirit of God dealing with your heart. You need to get that, sinner, because that makes it important when the Lord passes by that you respond to Him. My, here's what I'm trying to say. He had some personal weaknesses, but he had some circumstantial struggles as well. And so we see this. He's wanting to see Jesus. There's something in his heart. He wants to know about Jesus. My, that's so critical. And so the Bible says this. He could not for the press because he's little of stature. But I want you to look at verse number 4. And he didn't give up. He was not going to give up getting to Jesus. I mean, he's getting to Jesus. Notice what the Bible said. And he ran before. In other words, that means he ran out there ahead. No doubt there was a main road that Jesus was going down and the press was going down. Some kind of a route that most people took through town. And Zacchaeus knew that. And so Zacchaeus, he runs and gets ahead. And he climbed up into... Notice what he did. It doesn't say he walked. It doesn't say he walked fast. It doesn't even say he jogged. The Bible says he ran. He's serious about this thing. He's not playing around. Jesus is passing by and he intends to see him. And he didn't know it, but you and I know it. Jesus won't ever pass by again. Oh my, I think that ought to challenge you, sinner. That ought to challenge your heart today. And I understand he's long-suffering, he's merciful, he's kind, he loves sinners. But oh my, one of these days he's coming by for the last, pass by your heart for the last time. You better get in when he passes by. You better listen at me. When Jesus deals with your heart and there's a want to be saved, that's when you need to get saved. Amen. Well, Here's Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus. He ran. He wasn't playing around. Now, I want to tell you, old Zacchaeus is a businessman. I mean, he had them three-piece $700 suits on. I'm relating it to our time. He had those big fine clothes, and he was dignified, and maybe like what we'd see a banker to be today. He wasn't wearing overalls. He wasn't wearing no work pants and work boots. No, this fellow was rich. He wore the best of clothes, what I see, what I have in my mind. He's a rich man. I mean, he rubbed elbows with the money boys, the money people. You do know that money people rub elbows with money people. That's how it is. That's how it works out. No doubt he had some friends in high places, had influence, could drop a few coins if they needed something done and get things accomplished, don't you say? But here's Zacchaeus. He lost his pride. He's running. Can you see him running that three-piece suit? Them Johnson Murphy shoes all polished up. Them $200 shoes running. Climb up a sycamore tree. You know why, Dre? He wants to see Jesus. He's serious about Jesus. He wasn't playing around. He wasn't worried about his suit. He wasn't worried about his shoes. He wasn't worried what people thought. He wanted to see Jesus, don't you say? Sinner, how about you? You serious about this thing of seeing Jesus? Well, he was, because Jesus passing by. He didn't know it, but this is the last time he's passing by. Well, here he is. He ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, I've heard all kind of preaching on the sycamore tree. It's slick bark tree. I don't know. Difficult to climb. I've heard that. I've heard other things about it. I don't know, but for a big businessman in town, wearing his fine clothes and his fine shoes, having his fine friends climbing the tree, seems pretty humiliating to me. I don't know about you, but here's what I think. I think he got to the point he didn't care what people thought. He wanted to see Jesus. He's serious about it. He's not playing around. He ran ahead. He's tried once, and there's too many obstacles there. He's going to figure out what he has to do to see Jesus. And his thoughts come to him to run ahead and climb up into the tree. Now, y'all don't know this. Y'all don't. Some of you don't know this. Some of you do. The tree is symbolic as well. You know what the tree is symbolic of? It's symbolic of the cross, don't you see? Can I say this? You'll never see Jesus, sinner, like you ought to, till you go to Calvary's tree. That's right. It was the tree that let him see Jesus for who he was. And sinner, can I tell you, if you'll go to Calvary, you'll see Jesus for what he is. You'll see a Savior that loves you. That's right. He loves sinners. You say, why? What are you talking about? He hung on a tree and gave his life and shed his blood for sinners. Oh, I'm telling you, why did he do it? Because we were good? No. 1,000 times, no. He did it because he loved sinners. Whoa, he loved sinners, don't you say? Oh my, he loves sinners. He wants to save no good sinners. He's seeking you out this morning.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. He come not just to save, but to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking you. Can you feel the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart? Is there something in there and you want to be saved? I mean, there's something in there. You never have thought much about it, but you won't be saved. You're fearful going to hell. That's where I was. Some people said they get saved and they're not afraid of going to hell. That's what motivated me. Everybody's salvation's different. I understand that. You can't base it. Brother Tom Miller said he just sensed the love of God. Just how much God loved him. And that's what led him to be saved. But whatever the Holy Ghost uses, the Holy Ghost will deal with your heart. Nobody else will know the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart unless it gets so much it starts overflowing to the outside. But sometimes the Holy Ghost deals with a sinner so much there'll be tears start coming out his eyes. or maybe he'll deal with a sinner and he'll just be so upset, visibly upset. That's the Holy Ghost. If you want to be saved, that's a good chance the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. I don't think the devil's going to put in your heart a desire to be saved. Well, what's in your heart? What's your desire? Where are you at? Are you going to care? Are you going to be different than Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus didn't care. He climbed that tree, a picture of the cross. He was crucified with Christ there on the cross. If you want to look at the picture there and get a good glimpse of Calvary Center, you're going to have to understand Calvary. I'm going to stop just a minute and give you Calvary and give you the gospel. And many, many people in this room know it. But here's the thing, you couldn't get to God. So God came to earth through His Son. God the Son. The Son is God. You mark that down. There's a lot of religions that say He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a good prophet. He stood for good things. Can I tell you, Jesus was much more than that. He was God in the flesh. That's what the Word of God teaches. He was God in the flesh. You can't get to God on your own. So Jesus, God the Father, sent God the Son to earth to seek and to save sinners. He sent God the Holy Spirit and God the Son to earth to seek and to save sinners. That's why the Son of Man came, to seek you out, sinner. You're here this morning. It may be the Holy Ghost is moving in your heart. You've never had any desire to be saved, but there's something that's saying you need to be saved. I want to save you. Don't go to hell. Whatever He's saying, the Holy Ghost is seeking you out this morning. Oh my. It may be. Now you might say, this press of people's keeping me from Him. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd run to the tree. What I'd do, I'd go to Calvary. Let me see if I can slow up a little bit to get on Calvary. Here's what God the Father sent God the Son to planet earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And so He came to earth. And the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. If you sin, the payday you get is eternity in the lake of fire. That's the second death. Every sinner that does not deal with the sin issue through Calvary, they spend eternity in the lake of fire. And sinner, just as sure as I'm standing here, you're on your way to the lake of fire if you're not saved. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm not trying to scare you. I know that stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work in this day and time. It takes a miracle of God to deal with a sinner. But you're on your way to the lake of fire. And here's what Jesus did. He lived a sinless life. And when His life was coming to a close, there was no sin. There was no death. He had no second death to worry about. He was a perfect, sinless man. And that made Him a substitute, made Him a fit substitute for you and I. Preacher, what do you mean by fit substitute? Here's what God demands: a faultless substitute, one that has no blemish in it. If you were to read in the Old Testament, they brought a lamb, had to be blemish free. Not just any old lamb would do. Oh no, it had to be blemish free. Can I tell you, Jesus lived a sinless life. Now listen to me, sinner. This is the gospel. This is the gospel message. It destroys death and brings life and immortality to light, or manifests life and immortality. Here's the gospel. He took your sins upon Himself. You see, a just God has to punish sin. What kind of judge would it be who had a guilty man there and said, you can just go free? No penalty, no nothing. You just go free. That'd be an unjust judge. judge. And our God is a just God. He's a just judge. He does things right, and he's just in his dealings. And so he has to deal with your sin. And the wages of sin is death. But God the Son took your sins upon him, marched up Calvary's tree, hung on a cross, and suffered your eternal hell for you there on Calvary, shed his blood to wash away your sins, gave his life. They buried him in the ground. On the third day he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's alive today. He's alive. You know why it's important he's alive? He's able to save sinners if they'll come to him. Oh my. Here Zacchaeus, he come to the tree. That's a picture of the cross. The way, I forgot how that song words it, but it's something like, the way that leads home is by the cross. I forgot, some of you singer boys might be able to help me with that. There's a little song like that that's out there. Here's what I'm saying. You really want to see Jesus, go to Calvary. Sinner, let me just slow up and say it again. He died on the cross for your sins. He suffered your hell. He suffered your death there on Calvary so you don't have to. God is going to deal with your sins one way or another. But can I tell you, he's such a loving, gracious, righteous, holy God that he knew we couldn't get there without him. And he let Jesus take our whipping for us. The whipping for our sins that we deserve. Our punishment. He let Jesus suffer our punishment. And I said in Sunday school, it has to be God that can pay the sin debt of the whole world from 9 o'clock a.m., 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Has to be. You read your Bible. 6 hours. Our God paid the sin debt for the whole world. Isn't that something? That's amazing. In 6 hours, he destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Oh my, here's what I'm saying. Here's what some of you might be saying. Well, I'm just a sinner. I have to do better so God will accept me. No, he come for sinners, not good people. Sinners. He came to seek and save sinners. He wants sinners. That's who he's after. Hey, he don't want that righteous crowd, that old self-righteous Pharisee crowd. He didn't spend a lot of time on them. Can I tell you who he came after? Sinners. He wanted them old sinners. I want to go to the publican, to the Pharisee and the publican. There's a praying. One of them said, I fast twice in the week and I tithe and I do this. And the old publican, the old, just same thing Zacchaeus was. He just smote his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He just said, I'm a sinner and I need help. And this guy's bragging about what he was. You know who got help? God didn't help that man's bragging about how good he was. God helped that old sinner. Boy, I remember June the 9th, 1969, no sinner just bowed down. I just bowed down, said, God, save me. God, save me. Just an old sinner. I had nothing to offer. I had nothing. Oh, can I tell you, the great God, the good God, saved my unworthy soul. Well, glory. Let me see if I can get back. The tree's a picture of the cross. If you want to see Jesus right, go to Calvary. Well, here he is. He ran, verse 4, he ran before. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Man, here's what Zacchaeus is about. He's about seeing Jesus. Now, he's not saying words. He's not saying the right sentences to get Jesus to pass by, but in his heart, he's wanting to see Jesus. And he's willing to lay his pride aside. He's willing to get his suit dirty to climb the tree. He's willing to run. My, don't you know it's undignified to run in your suit, your fine dress shoes, whatever they had back then that was on that equivalent. He's running. And he climbs up into the tree and he positions himself to see Jesus. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus, oh, I love this part. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. You remember when the Lord saw you? Ah, that's a good day. It was a bad day for a little while, but boy, after the bad come the good, and it's just been good. It's been good ever since. You remember when, here, let me preach my message. Sinner, he knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows if there's a sinner on this pew. He knows if there's a sinner here or here or here or here or here or here and here. He knows everyone. He knows where you're at. I don't know where you're at. I don't know. He knows if there's a sinner here. A sinner here. Sinner here. Can I tell you, he knows. He knows. You've got me fooled. Sister April, I would have thought this. You said you got saved Wednesday night. I would have thought you were saved. Can I tell you, you had me fooled. But you didn't have God fooled. He knew where you was. That's right. He knows where all of you are. That's right. You can go ahead and put your little Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. You can comb and clean up. You can look the part. You can fool everybody except one. And that's God. You're not fooling him. He knows. He knows if he's dealing with your heart this morning. He knows if you need to get saved. He knows if you want to be saved. And he wants to save you more than you want to be saved. Oh, my. Here's old Zacchaeus, and he don't say a lot of words, but the Lord come right there under the tree and looked up at him. Here's what I think he would have said. I see you up there. I know where you at. Before he ever got there, he knew where he was at. That's right. Before he ever come to Jericho, he knew he'd be seated up there in the tree. Well, I say glory to God. Aren't you glad the Lord knows where we're at? Sometimes I make a mess out of things. He knows I don't want to. He knows I want to bring him glory. He knows if you're haughty and lifted in pride, unwilling to humble yourself. He knows all those things. You're not hiding from God. Sinner, the Lord sees you as a sinner on your way to hell. He's seeking you out. He's seeking you. Oh my. By the way, seeking comes before saving. In the text, that's God's order. God always has an order. He seeks before he saves. Sinners, he's seeking you out. Is there something in your heart you want to be saved, but the people's keeping you from coming? Or maybe your inabilities, your shortcomings, maybe your pride, maybe your fear, whatever it is, it's keeping you from coming. Here's what Nicodemus said. I'm not letting anything stop me from seeing Jesus. And he got in that big old ancient time three-piece suit of his and them slippers of his, and he climbed up that tree to see Jesus. And Jesus passes by, and not only did he see Jesus, but let me just tell you this, Jesus saw him. Here's a two-way connection. Jesus saw him. And I want you to notice what Jesus said to him. Notice verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, you thieving rascal, you, I'll not have anything to do with you. He was a thief. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Isn't that what it says a little later? something to that effect. He's a thief. He's a liar. He had to lie to cheat them people out of that money. He had to lie about it. He's a thief and a liar. The Lord didn't say, "Why, you no good thief, you no good liar, you worthless thing, you're mean to my people, taking their money for your gain." He didn't do that. Here's what the Lord said. "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Well, glory to God, I was a no good sinner. He could have brought a lot of things up, but he didn't. Well, glory to God, glory to God. When he come my way, there's a lot he could have said, but he didn't. He just said, "Come on down, we're going to fellowship a while."
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't know what I know. Paul said he's the chief of sinners, so you ain't no worse than him. If he's the chief, the Holy Spirit preserved it for us. He's the chief of sinners. But here's what the Lord said to this thief, this liar, this cheat, this covetous man who wanted all he could get, got all he could and cheated people to get it. Here's what the Lord said, "Come down, for today, right now, while I'm passing by, today I must abide at thy house." Now notice, Zacchaeus run to the tree. The Lord told him to make haste, don't play around. And verse 6 says, and he made haste. I bet he had skint places on his legs coming down that tree. I mean, I really think that. I think he just flew down that tree. You know why? Because the Lord was going to abide with him. Going to abide with him. Here's what will happen, sinner, if you'll come to Jesus. He won't throw up all your sins. He won't belittle you. He won't take you back to your past. And I know you have to deal with your sin. I understand that. You can't hang on to your sin, but oh, Zacchaeus is past all that. The Lord just said, "Come on down, we're going to abide. I'm going to abide with you." And he made haste. Does the Bible say with joy? I think it says with joy. He made haste with joy. Let me just read it myself. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There was joy. Sinner, you want joy? Are you sick of the sinful life? You want joy? Why don't you let Jesus save you? Why don't you let him move in to abide with you like he did Zacchaeus? Old Zacchaeus come down. When he come down, he's a new man. You say, what do you think about these sinners that just continue on their sin? I don't think they got it. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. Notice Zacchaeus in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half my goods I give to the poor." I mean, he worked all his life to be rich, cheated and lied and stole and done everything he could. But he said, "I'm giving half of it. I'm giving half of my goods I give to the poor." He had mercy in his heart. My, you can just start looking at the characteristics that Zacchaeus shows here. It's the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. My, he had love, joy, peace. I mean, he just had it. He got it. He got a good dose of salvation. What happened? "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said, "This day salvation come to this house." Salvation's come. My, sinner, can I tell you what the Lord will do? He'll change you. Sure as I'm standing here, salvation will change you. It'll change you. Just how it is. I wonder if, like Zacchaeus, there's something in your heart that you want to be saved. You want to know the Lord. You're sick of the money life. You're sick of this life and that life. I just wonder if deep in your heart, where nobody can see, nobody in this building can see, there's a desire to be saved. I wonder, can I tell you what that is? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking you. He's seeking you. He's passed by your way. He's seeking you, and He wants to save you. And here's the question. Will you be saved today? Zacchaeus said, I'm going to see Jesus. I don't care about the people. I don't care about my looks. I don't care about my pride. I don't care what people think. I'm going to see Jesus. And he took off running. He did what he had to be saved. How about you today? Let's bow our heads. Somebody come, just play quietly on the piano. Now listen, I'm preaching to you what God give me. It's off me now, but it's on you, sinner. If there's something in your heart and God's dealing with you, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to respond by, is the Holy Ghost seeking you out today? If He sought you out and found you, He'll save you if you'll allow Him to. Would you come? Would you come to the Savior and be saved and let Him change your life, make a new creature out of you? While all heads are bowed, you and the Holy Ghost are dealing. This altar, you don't have to come to the altar. This altar will be a good place for you. We can take you down to a Sunday school room and talk to you. We'll do whatever we need to do to help you as the Savior seeking you. How about it? While Sister King plays and I get real quiet and just give the Holy Spirit a little time to work, would you please? Would you please? It's when He's passing by that you can get in. It's when He's passing by. My, He may not be passing by your way a week from now, 2 weeks from now, but He's passing by right now. Why don't you get in? Why don't you just throw up that white flag and say, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus. I don't care what they think. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to come to Jesus and be saved. While Sister King plays, you and the Holy Ghost